If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. Joining us in the next title studio, Todd Godfrey from High Desert Harley and retired Colonel from the United States Air Force, Bruce Wong. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning. Great.
Great.
He still works, though.
Well, yeah, but I the Air Force part.
Exactly.
I'm going to always glom onto. My father was in the Air Force for 25 years.
Thank you for his service.
Thank you for yours, too. You've got a big event coming up.
We do. It's our 8th annual Idaho Patriot Thunder this Sunday. So we're very excited about it. Mm-hmm. Once again, be prepared for a lot of motorcycles and some great give back to two great organizations.
Yeah, obviously your business, High Desert Harley-Davidson, is a huge part of it. And Idaho's military participates and businesses, civic organizations. A lot of people are involved.
A lot of people are involved. And, you know, we all started this 8 years ago. And we sat down and said, we need to give back to the community. And with the help of Bruce, one of our customers, and, you know, we feel the military, because that affects everybody in the United States, whether they like it or not. The military affects their lives, so they're able to do the things that they want to do here and protect us.
And it's for charity, obviously, and some really good causes.
Yeah, I'm going to let the Colonel talk about that. He's a little more in tune with the two charities.
Well, no, it's, the effort here is to give back to mm-hmm. both the Idaho Guard and Family Reserve Support Fund and Operation Warm Heart out at Mountain Home. Both support military families, and so many times we forget that although the military is standing there on the front line, that family is right with them. So every penny we earn goes to those two organizations.
And there's a reason it's near June 6th every year.
It is. It's right after Memorial Day, and it also celebrates the D-Day anniversary, which is one of the things we wanted to tie this event around to give great folks of Idaho an opportunity to say thank you.
So you'll be starting out High Desert Harley Sunday at 11 o'clock, and then you'll end at Carl Miller Park in Mountain Home. So you might want to make sure that your motorcycle seat is nice and comfy because you're riding a ways.
Yep. We start registration, day of registration at 8 o'clock. Kickstands up at 11 o'clock sharp right after the howitzer goes off. We are blessed with the local law enforcement agencies escorting us down to Mountain Home. And we hope to have 900 motorcycles this year. Last year, due to the heat, I think we ended up just under 800. But this Sunday is going to be 82 and partly sunny. It's going to be a phenomenal day.
Mm-hmm. How has your fundraising been in the past, like, say, last year? And what are your goals for this year?
Right now, we've got 400 people signed up. We've got two great checks already from the Phantom Fury Foundation that has closed down due to deployments, mm-hmm. and they have donated $10,000 to each organization, or was it?
For both.
For both.
Wow.
So, you know, right there, we're starting off strong.
Right. So I hear the word howitzer, and I don't ride anymore, but I just want to show up for that. And then I see you might have a Blackhawk there, military heritage displays. There's going to be a lot of patriotism going on.
There's a lot
Sunday
of wonderful
morning.
Things going on, and it's due to, you know, the folks from the National Guard, the folks from Mountain Home Air Force Base, and the community. You know, it's awesome when we leave the dealership, going down the freeway, we have police escort, but going over the overpasses, we see always a tremendous amount of people waving their flags, waving to us, so we are patriotic.
Mm-hmm. Tell us, Bruce, if you will, about the Family Support Fund and Operation Warm Heart. What kinds of things do they do?
Well, they provide not only financial support, but sometimes even teddy bears to kids whose families are going through some very, very tough times. But that group takes care of military members that the military members deployed and those that are still at the base or at Gowan Field regarding those that have some hardships that they're going mm-hmm. through. There are no taxpayer dollars involved with this. This is all done by donation. And so it's been very, very successful across the board. And I would like to say, too, that on Sunday we are going to be honored with the Lieutenant Governor being there, as with Mayor Tammy. We'll have the typical World War II aircraft flyover. The Mountain Home Air Force Base Honor Guard is going to be there. It's going to be an amazing event sending the riders off.
gets a little bigger every year, doesn't it, and adds a few elements.
Yeah, it keeps growing year after year. You know, people have been there all eight. This will be the, you know, eighth time. Mm-hmm. We've been lucky to raise over $250,000 over the last 7 years. We're hoping to push that $300,000 mark this year, and we're going to continue to keep it going.
Guys, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you guys so much.
This is a great event. So early registration day of 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday at High Desert Harley. Kickstands up at 11.
And don't forget to go to IdahoPatriotThunder.com, and you can find out information that you didn't have time to write down right now.
Correct.
Very good. Thanks, guys, for coming
in.
We appreciate it. Have a great ride Sunday.
Support.
845 now at 670 KVOI. Final check.
Remember, you are listening to Idaho Talks Live on 670 KBOI.
This portion of the show, sponsored by Jackson's, the best country concert of the year is on the way. Get ready for the 4th annual Jackson's Country Stomp, August 4th at the Ford Idaho Center Amphitheater. Listen to this lineup: Jake Owen, Cassidy Pope, Neil McCoy, and Drake White. This is the show where memories are going to be made. Tickets are on sale now at all Jackson's food stores. Your summer won't be complete if you miss the Jackson's Country Stomp. Make sure you're there.
Let's talk a little bit about the events of this morning.
All right.
The president is expected to pull the United States out of a landmark global climate agreement. They're calling it that. A White House official said this morning, though there could be, and this is a quote, caveats in the language announcing a withdrawal, leaving open the possibility that the decision is not final. And what I'm talking about is the Paris deal, the Paris Accord about global warming. Yep. And that sort of thing. And there are a lot of people in this country that don't even believe that global warming is something caused by human beings.
That's
and, you know, there are plenty of people who say, you know what, weather goes in cycles and things melt and then things come back and mm-hmm. it happens over hundreds of years. Other people say, no, absolutely, we're the ones causing this. Exiting the deal would fulfill a central campaign pledge from the president, but would be certain to anger allies that spent years negotiating the accord to reduce carbon emissions. The official insisted on anonymity, which, you know, I would be glad if one of these days, just these people who seem to know everything at the White House would just give their names,
yeah.
you know, and take a stand.
Even
on
if
something.
It's somebody you don't know, hey, Smith.
I realize your career would be over, but if that's the case, why don't you be quiet anyway?
I'm just
say who you are. Because whether you're on the right or the left, for some reason, everybody has an anonymous source somehow. The official insisted, of course, on anonymity, but the president tweeted this morning, I will be announcing my decision on the Paris Accord over the next few days. Make America great again. And the speculation is that, you know, he's going to pull us out of it. While Trump currently favors an exit, he has been known to change his thinking on major decisions occasionally.
Yes.
And does tend to seek counsel from a range of inside and outside advisors, many with differing agendas or opinions, as I call them, until the last minute. The president's top aides have been divided on the Paris Accord. Wednesday afternoon, the president was to meet with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. He has favored remaining in the deal. Chief Strategist Steve Bannon supports getting out of it. Senior advisor Jared Kushner generally thinks the deal is bad, but would like to find a way to see if the U.S. emissions targets can be changed. In other words, I think what Jared Kushner believes is that they want the United States to do too much.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly 200 nations, including the U.S. under President Obama, agreed in 2015 to voluntarily reduce their greenhouse gas emissions in an effort to combat climate change. Withdrawing would leave the United States aligned only with Russia, among the world's industrialized economies, in rejecting action to combat climate change.
Dun, dun, dun.
And again, every story has to end up with Russia. Trump pledged during his presidential campaign to withdraw the U.S. from the pact immediately after taking office, but had wavered on the issue since winning the election. During his overseas trip last week, European leaders pressed him to keep the U.S. in the pact. French President Emmanuel Macron spoke with the president at length about the issue during a meeting in Brussels, and even at the Vatican, Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin of the Vatican City made his own pro-Paris pitch to Trump and his advisors. News of the president's expected decision drew swift reaction from the United Nations. The organization's main Twitter page quoted Secretary General Antonio Guterres as saying, climate change is undeniable. Well, I don't think it is because there are people who deny it.
Yeah,
so,
stop.
I mean, he might consider it that. Climate change is unstoppable. Climate solutions provide opportunities that are unmatchable. The Sierra Club's executive director, Michael Brune, called the expected move a historic mistake, which our grandchildren will look back on with stunned dismay at how a world leader could be so divorced from reality and morality.
Boy,
that seems like a strong comment.
Yeah.
Trump claimed before taking office that climate change was a hoax created by the Chinese to hurt the U.S. economy. Such an assertion stands in defiance of broad scientific consensus. But not 100% consensus.
No.
Now, immediately after this announcement came out that probably the president was going to pull the United States out of the Paris Accord, immediately the European Union, which is still somewhat intact, said that they were all going to stay in. And then China announced that they were going to stay in as well. And it didn't matter to them what the United States was going to do.
Sure. And the thing is, other countries shouldn't go by what we do or not do. We should do what our leaders think is best for us. China should do what their leaders think is best for China. Russia should do what's best, and go on from there.
The problem with this particular issue is that everybody thinks it affects the entire Earth. And so they say, you know what, maybe you should help too. But the president's chief White House economic advisor, Gary Cohn, told reporters during the trip to Europe last week that the president's views on climate change were evolving following his discussions with European leaders. Word of the president's expected decision comes just one day after the president met with Scott Pruitt, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency. Like his boss, Pruitt has questioned the consensus of climate scientists that the Earth is warming and that man-made climate emissions are to blame. Once in power, the president and Pruitt have moved to delay or roll back federal regulations limiting greenhouse gas emissions while pledging to revive the long-struggling U.S. coal mines. What is not yet clear is whether the president plans to initiate a formal withdrawal from the Paris Accord, as we said, which under the terms of the agreement could take 3 years to do, or exit the underlying UN climate change treaty on which that accord has been based.
Ivanka is also against this, leaving, doing the exit. She's against it. It'll be interesting to see if she has his ear.
It will, I think. Yeah, I think she plays a big part.
I think she has a pretty big voice in the White House.
And Mitch McConnell sent him a letter that said, hurry up and get out of this thing.
Interesting. We'll be back with more after the top of the hour news on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Todd with 1D, Chris Walton, all with you on this Wednesday morning. Week's going by quickly, which I'm a big fan of. So, because it's going to be
just
Friday before you know it.
2 days to go.
Exactly. I want to touch on this for a second, just because whenever something like this happens, because you and I last week talked about the fact that Trump always says, what was his statement? I'm the most picked on president in the history of...
Oh, yeah. I've been treated more unfairly.
I've been treated more unfairly than any president ever.
And then, of course, the first thing everybody does is mention the four guys who have been assassinated.
Yeah. They were maybe picked on a little bit. Then something like this comes out, and this article I'm reading here says she's a D-list comedian, Kathy Griffin, and I don't even know if D-list is correct. Well, it might be lower than that.
She actually had a reality show for several years called My Life on the D-List, so she always made fun of that.
Okay.
That she's a comedian, she makes quite a bit of money, a lot of people like her, but she's not universally known. Except that every New Year's Eve, she and Anderson Cooper host the CNN coverage of New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's really the only thing I know her from is when she's drunk on New Year's Eve with Anderson Cooper.
She performed at the Morrison Center one time, and my wife got us tickets, and it was really pretty good.
Yeah. But whenever somebody does something like this, I think, well, that's just going to help Donald Trump say I'm the most picked on president ever. And I don't know how or... There's pushing the edge and pushing the envelope as a comedian. I get it. You know, I liked Richard Pryor back in the day. I was a big fan of Andrew Dice Clay. So I get that when it's funny.
Sam Kinison.
Yes. I don't understand how holding up what looks like the severed bloody head of Donald Trump can be making a statement of any kind that's worthwhile in the long run.
Yeah. Well, and it occurs to me that you do that for any of our previous presidents, and people, practically everybody would raise a fuss.
Certainly, and Kathy Griffin would. Trump, if somebody had done something with Obama like that, and I would have just been just as mortified if Obama had had that happen too.
Now he's got a little different presidency than most people.
Sure.
And he does tend to be a little bit more aggressive, a little more gruff than most. And maybe, you know, follows a little less in the way of decorum. But again, he didn't promise to do any of those things when he was running. What he promised to do was change everything.
Yep.
And we talked yesterday about the possibility that there's a lack of civility in our public discourse now.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there are still plenty of people who are on the president's side and would like to see him succeed because, you know, ultimately when the president succeeds, the country does as well.
Certainly, yes.
Depending, of course, on what your view is of what he's doing. However, people have been a little, I guess, a little quicker to make fun of him simply because he's been not just a politician, you know, not a governor, not a senator, not a congressman or anything like that, but just a plain celebrity.
Yes.
A celebrity for being, a rich guy in the 80s. And then he wrote a book about the art of the deal. Or signed it or something. Anyway, he was part of that, and it was a bestseller, and he became a pretty big celebrity. And, you know, then, of course, most of the things that he is involved in are very visual.
Mm-hmm.
Atlantic City, of course, mm-hmm. You know, there was the Trump Taj Mahal casino, and I guess he owned several of the other casinos there. He owned several tall buildings in New York, the Trump Tower, the Trump Plaza, the Trump this, the Trump that. And for the most part, his business over the last several years, since he's been very famous, has simply been to license his name to buildings that are being actually built by other people.
Yes.
And he's made quite a bit of money doing that. Like, what did they figure a few years ago? $130 million just from licensing alone.
Yep.
Which, if you're at a point, you know, where you got... Let's put it this way. If you're at a point where your name can simply make you $100 million... without you ever have, you know, actually
having to do something.
Well, yeah, he does things, but without you actually having to be particularly involved in running the business yourself. And he even admits that, you know, he talks about running this empire and things. But these days, as he was getting older into his 60s and he's now 70, most of what he's been doing is simply authorizing things because, you know, the authorizing things for other people to do that simply have the Trump name on them. And a few of them didn't work out. The Trump stakes didn't turn out to be a profitable thing. Trump University ended up going under.
Yes.
So it not everything has been fantastic. But, it's just the fact that he's been a celebrity, you know, and he hosted this reality show and all these different things that I think people, especially famous people, think they have a lot more leeway to poke fun at him.
Yeah.
Or to... you know, slay him, sort of, and, you know, symbolically, as clearly Kathy Griffin did yesterday. And they even once in a while on very late night on Comedy Central run a roast of Donald Trump that was before he ever ran for president. And it even talks about how he was going to run for president. And they say just the most awful things in the world about him. And he just sits there and actually took it with good humor. Because I don't think he necessarily believes that there's such a thing as bad publicity. In other words, if you keep your name in the papers, that's good enough.
Yeah.
And so since he's been that kind of celebrity for some time, people think they have a lot more leeway than some guy who's, you know, spent his entire life, as far as they're concerned, in public service. You know, somebody who's been a lifelong politician, has been a governor, all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think so. I still believe that the office of the presidency is worth, you know, respect.
Yes.
Like I said, President Trump is not like the other presidents when it comes to the way he acts. And, you know, the other presidents, the last two of them had Twitter accounts, but you didn't even notice that they were
because they
simply said things like, you know, Happy Memorial Day, everybody, and
yeah,
that was it.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and they didn't answer any questions on Twitter. They just, you know, treated it like, well, that's not what I'm going to do. And so he puts himself out there again in a different way than other presidents have. But to hold up the severed head of any president seems like probably a bad idea. Like, it's not going to be nearly as funny as you intended.
No, exactly. Yeah, it's not shocking. Now you've crossed a huge line. Coming up next, I've got an article from USA Today saying Kathy Griffin's sickening Donald Trump stunt united us. It's kind of a captivating headline. 914 at 670 KBOI.
You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. Today's KBOI rewards code, sickening, S-I-C-K-E-N-I-N-G, S-I-C-K-E-N-I-N-G. Go to KBOI.com, enter that keyword sickening, and you will get your 5,000 rewards points, and Kathy Griffin will come to your house and do a personal show.
You know, she actually might.
She might, yeah.
You never know.
So, go ahead.
A couple instant messages here. Dave, a Boise, he says, I would like to know if the people that are saying that global warming is caused by humans are in fact the same people that think the planet is only a couple thousand years old, give or take. It seems to me that would be the most likely scenario. Science has proven them wrong, and science is proving global warming has occurred for millions of years. So what's the point of science if no one believes what they are telling us? Okay. I mean, but there are certain scientists who are telling us that we are causing or at least adding to it in some way. You remember in the 70s when they told us that they were going to start phasing out aerosol sprays?
Yes, I do remember that.
Which they did. And the reason they were going to do that is because aerosol sprays in some way affected the ozone layer.
Fluorocarbons or something.
And yeah, fluorocarbons. And once the ozone layer was gone, we would all be sunburned all the time.
Yes.
Well, we phased out the use of aerosol sprays. And I just read a thing the other day that said the ozone layer is almost back to being where it was before we even started with aerosol sprays.
And yet I still get sunburned.
Well, yeah, because that's not a sure thing.
Okay.
But you don't get sunburned just by walking outside for 30 seconds.
Have you seen me? I'm pretty pale. I get sunburned just by walking outside for 30 seconds.
Okay.
I might be the whitest guy you know.
Well, I'm from Idaho, so no, you're not even.
I was born in North Dakota.
Well,
you're not going to get any whiter than that.
But you lived in Turkey. You lived in New Mexico.
But I didn't pick up any color in those places. I was still white. And my father's British, and my mother's.
I'm just saying
Scottish.
I'm just saying. I know a lot of very white people.
Well, that's true. That's a very good point. All right, Kathy Griffin. She's apologized for going too far.
So my relatives are Scandinavian.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That is whiter than me. On a performance art project where she held a model of a bloody decapitated head designed to look like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Way too far is putting it mildly.
Poor taste.
Yes.
And I don't generally try to censor anybody who's doing comedy because there are plenty of people who don't think that anything I say is funny. And so they have a different sense of humor, obviously, than
I
do.
Sure.
So for me to go around saying you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that, I try not to. I'm not really in favor of censorship since we have free speech. But I do consider a lot of things to be in poor taste.
Yes.
And I would say holding up the severed head of any president would you know, not really, but a facsimile there. Is kind of in poor taste.
Way too far is putting it mildly.
Yeah.
But in a strange way, this is from the article from USA Today that I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. Griffin's shameful stunt may have given Americans their greatest moment of unity since Trump's unexpected election. Griffin was apparently inspired by a scene from a 2011 episode of Game of Thrones, which featured the severed head of George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. Producers later apologized for the shot and edited it out of later screenings. The crux of this is when Donald Trump and Chelsea Clinton agree, that's something. So at the end of the day, you can hate Donald Trump or you can hate Barack Obama or you can hate Bill Clinton.
But you can understand why neither of them would want to see the severed head of a president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you have to at the end of the day, you criticize a politician because of policy.
Now, if you hold up the severed head of Louis XVI,
it's already been done. So that's historical.
Yes, that has precedent.
Exactly. When people began reacting in outrage on Twitter, Griffin responded in defiance with a snarky tweet suggesting the caption for the photo, there was blood coming out of his eyes, blood coming out of his wherever. This was a dated, obviously reference to comment made by then presidential candidate Trump about Fox News channel anchor Megyn Kelly following a presidential debate she moderated.
Yeah, which, I might add, made a lot of women very uncomfortable.
Yes. Then Griffin started getting cold feet sending out this tweet. Obviously, I do not condone any violence. I'm merely mocking the mocker in chief. Later, she deleted both of those tweets and took down the photo from her own social media account.
And again, I think part of the reason that people think they have a license to say just about anything about the president is because of his gruff exterior. You know, the fact that he does tend to shoot from the hip. And so people are like, well, you shoot from the hip, I'm going to shoot back from the hip.
Yeah.
If you're a member of the Secret Service, I did not literally mean that.
Griffin had little choice but to apologize. Later, she posted, I'm sorry, I went too far, I was wrong. She admitted that the image was too disturbing and wasn't funny and that she understood how it offended people.
There you go.
Griffin had little choice but to apologize, though. Even that didn't stop the overwhelming blowback on social media from famous and not-so-famous people mm-hmm. across the political spectrum, including Anderson Cooper, her CNN co-host on New Year's Eve. He tweeted, for the record, I am appalled by the photo shoot Kathy Griffin took part in. It is clearly disgusting and completely inappropriate. That's what it really comes down to at the end of the okay. day. It's completely inappropriate.
And in poor taste.
And if she wants to have a comedy act where she rips Trump for his hair or
now,
the fact that he's orange or whatever.
Now, getting down
that's fine.
Getting down to the nitty gritty, and this has happened during the Trump administration, and it happened as well during the Obama administration. There are people who hate them,
mm-hmm.
not just disagree with them. There are people who completely hate them. And this is what we were talking about yesterday. That maybe civil discourse or just being civil while you're talking about politics is a thing of the past. And the only thing that disturbs me about all of that is that it used to be that we considered people outside the United States to be enemies of the United States.
Sure.
And it's gotten to a point where conservatives consider liberals to be enemies of the United States and liberals consider conservatives mm-hmm. to be enemies of the United States. And I think they're both going overboard in that respect. We should, you know, as Americans, support other Americans. I mean, you know, obviously not in everything that happens. Like, for instance, Kathy Griffin's an American. But again, I don't support holding up a severed head. Well, mainly because the people who are the actual enemies of the United States
would love to hold up a severed head.
They do hold up severed heads.
That's exactly what they do.
Quite often of Americans. And so it's really not even good symbolism when it comes to that.
All right. Coming up next is local news with Rick Worthington. Then we'll be back with your calls. We'll actually talk more about the climate change and pulling out of the Paris Accord that Donald Trump is hinting at this morning. It's 9:26 on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. This portion sponsored by the College of Western Idaho. If you're frustrated by your dead-end job or you feel the need to make an exciting change in your life, check out the truck driving program at CWI on the internet at cwidaho.cc or give them a call at 565-2050 for more information.
Oh,
thank you very much. And with that sounder,
that
we
down.
Go to the phones. David in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you this morning?
Morning, guys. By the way, Dave, I always enjoy it when you're on.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
Hey, real quick, the whole deal about this whole comedian, what would happen if it would have been Obama's head? I'll just listen to your guys' comment. That's all I can say.
All right, David, thanks.
Yeah.
I will tell you that she would have probably been one of the first people to come out and say it's the most deplorable thing ever.
Yeah,
and
if somebody else had
should have been
had
arrested and,
yeah.
you know, whoever did it should be arrested and you can't treat Obama and it's a racial thing.
Well, it is. There is a little bit of a noticeable difference there in that when if you were a white person holding up the severed head of a black person, that just isn't going to look right.
No,
of course, as we said, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It seems like the simply the office of the presidency should get a little bit more respect than that. But as I said, people tend to think of, and it's not necessarily the case, but people tend to think of Donald Trump a little differently since he has been a non-political celebrity for, you know, the last 30 years or so before he even bothered to get into politics.
Yeah, but for 5 months he's been the president, so
this is also a good point.
Let's move past
so
that.
I'm just saying that, you know, this is why I think people think they're justified in doing that.
Yeah.
But again, still office of the presidency.
Yeah. We also talked this morning about Trump is likely to withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Climate Accord. And Jim is in Boise. Jim, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today,
morning,
sir?
Morning. Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah, we human beings are an interesting species. I personally can't figure out what God was thinking when he created us. Okay, now, first, Well, first we crawled out of caves, and after we took care of the survival thing, the next thing that humans thought about was convenience. Convenience. Now, you mentioned aerosol cans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all, you know, us old dudes, remember prior to those, we had the little pump bottles, you know, the little pumps where you would actually use your thumb.
Sure.
And pump out the liquid. Okay, now, you know, I mean, that gave our thumb exercise, and there was no gases involved. That's all it took. Mm-hmm. And what did we do? We come up with a lousy thing just so we can just hold down, not have to pump, and create gas. Now, how intelligent is that?
Well, I think for anybody who had arthritis, it was a good deal.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I mean, you know, there were so many people with arthritis around, you know, they couldn't pump their bottles. But anyway, I mean, that's the epitome of how stupid we act sometimes.
All right, Jim, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. While I kind of agree with him, I don't fully agree with him in the fact that we tend to take the simplicity of life and then want to make it simpler. You know, it's like, how hard is it to get up and go across?
Just about every invention in the in history has been to make something a little more convenient.
Yes, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody, so I'm not scoreboarding. But how hard is it to just get up and go over and change the channel on the TV?
Kind of depends on, you know, who you are.
Well, and it's me, because so I sit on my couch and I just flick the stinking button and change 150 channels.
Well, they don't even sell TVs for the most part with dials anymore.
They don't. And the simplicity of things, and the fact that you don't have to, you know, you ask your kid, hey, why don't you go outside and play basketball? It's like, I can't because I'm playing this basketball video game. Wait, what? There's a disconnect there.
Or they're on a quest of some sort. There are a lot of videos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm just saying it's funny that they'd rather stay home and play a basketball video game than actually go out and play basketball.
Yeah.
So.
Not every invention turns out to be the best thing that ever, you know, happened to humans.
Yes.
And for the most part, life... it depends on, you know, what you're into and, of course, and how many things you are actually trying to accomplish. But life just in general is a lot easier to get through than it was 100 years ago.
100% agree with you.
Okay.
And so I don't want to go back to the 1930s where life was very difficult and hard. I'm just saying that sometimes we reach a point in technology where life is pretty good. And this thing is pretty simple, and it helps us a lot.
However,
now can we improve that and make it even simpler?
However, if you ask the average American, no matter when they grew up, whether it was the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s on up, they will probably tell you that they liked things better back then. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that you were a kid then, and your actual knowledge of what was going on was a little more carefree.
That's true. I had a great time in Turkey. I don't know that I ever want to go back.
Yeah, and you were living on an Air Force Base.
Because I was 8, 9, or 10, and I was on an Air Force base, so it was like a little scoop of America right there planted in Turkey. So I didn't really have to ever go off base to do anything. We did, but I didn't have to.
Yeah.
But I don't want to go live in Istanbul. I just don't. It was a fun time for 2 years.
I can echo that. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't either.
Yeah.
But like I said, I mean, I've never moved out of the state of Idaho. So I'm still where I was a kid.
Yeah. So, but you had great memories.
Sure, why not?
And so, but as you grew up, you realized Idaho wasn't perfect, just as everybody does and realizes wherever they live isn't perfect. It's like, oh, this is a grand design, and I couldn't be happier because I get peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and cartoons are on every afternoon, and I also get recess.
Now, I have been to a number of states where I thought to myself, wow, Idaho's more perfect than this.
And there are negative states. You're exactly right. 100% agree. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the Paris Climate Agreement. And give you the latest on that. It's 9:43. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. 9:47. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you till the top of the hour when Rush Limbaugh will take over. We have instant messages. Chris, tell us about those.
We do. We've got a few here. H.G. McCall says it's all about commerce, making money with new things, no matter how bad they are for us. The head, talking about this, the severed head, conservatives have better manners than to do that. Now, I will say that I never saw somebody actually holding up a severed head of Barack Obama.
No.
but it doesn't mean they were completely mannerly when it came to discussing Barack
Obama.
It does not
mean that either, exactly.
Because let's put it this way. I got a few letters over that
eight-year
period from conservatives who were not pleased.
Not a fan.
David of Boise, not you, but another David, says it's sad that we have nothing better to talk about than a comedian holding up an obviously fake severed head of Trump. Well, yeah, we knew it was fake. When right now North Korea is planning its next missile launch. Well, they haven't told us a lot about that. What about all the movies that have had presidents dying in them? Isn't it part of the Freedom of Speech Act? Well, it's part of the First Amendment. It just seems we should get our priorities straight. Well, we try to do that as often as possible.
Well, and here's the thing. If Lawrence Fishburne is playing the president of the United States, and for whatever reason, it's White House Down Part 7, and he gets killed in an explosion, I'm going to go, that's bad, but that's Lawrence Fishburne, and I'm going to be able to see him in a movie in a month. When it's actually a sitting president, whether it be Clinton, Bush, Trump, Obama, it's different than an actor playing the president.
Playing an actual president.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Which is why in most movies, I wrote a thing about this several years ago. It's changed since then, since we had a president named Barack Obama. But it used to be that if you had a president in a movie that was a fictitious president, they would have the most English-sounding, generic white person name you ever heard in your life.
Like, yeah.
President
Jones.
Like Robert Mitchell or something like that.
Exactly.
Or what was on Air Force One, that was President James Marshall.
Yeah. You can't get any more.
And so it just had, there were no Rutherford B. Hayeses in there.
At the same time, and going back to his message, we don't ignore North Korea.
No, we generally don't.
Yeah, we talk about North Korea and everything a lot.
But to be fair, apart from the occasional missile that comes out of there, they don't send
a
lot.
They don't let us know a lot of info out of them.
Good point. Boise Rabble Rouser says, guys, regardless of the overwhelming scientific evidence that human use of fossil fuels has doubled CO2 in the atmosphere, thus increasing temperatures, getting rid of the pollution in the atmosphere will reduce deaths from asthma, heart attacks, and cancer. Let the world move forward based on what's best for the people, not what's best for the corporations.
Here's my take on global warming. Should we be good stewards of the planet and do all that we can to be smart? Not dump trash and sewage into drinking water? Yes, we should.
Okay.
Am I such an egotist that I think that by using an aerosol can, I have the ability to increase the temperature of the planet 4 degrees? No, I do not. Because, again, like they said earlier, the planet's been icing up and heating up for millions of years, long before I ever got here. But I'm still going to be a good steward, throw my trash away, recycle, do all those things you're supposed to do.
Okay.
But I'm not such a egotist that I think, human beings, we sure can affect this change. Because I think when we're all gone, the planet's still going to be icing over and heating up and icing over and heating up.
Well, years ago, people said that when you say you're saving the planet, what you're actually saving is the ability of people to continue living on the planet.
Yes.
Because the Earth, to the Earth, we're just a surface nuisance.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And if it decides to get rid of us one day, it will do that.
It will.
Earthquakes, volcanoes, whatever. And it won't necessarily be a conscious decision, but, nature is what it is. Gary of Emmett says the headline is Trump to pull out of the Paris climate change deal. The Paris deal is not about climate, but about social justice. It will make the United States equal to all other nations. If you think the United States is exceptional and chosen by God to be the beacon of freedom and liberty to the world, the Paris deal is not the deal. If you prefer Belgium making rules for the world like they do for the EU, this is the deal for you. The next time a Stalin or Bin Laden comes along, though, good luck.
This
is why we have a United Nations, but we don't have an agreement that we have to do everything the United Nations votes on.
Yeah. And that's why Great Britain pulled out of the EU. That's why France for a while was worried about pulling out of the EU.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of countries,
people
in Spain don't want Belgium telling Spain what to do.
It's sovereignty. I mean, it's the same reason that the southern states created the Confederacy and pulled out of the United States for a time. It's because they felt their sovereignty had been destroyed.
And why the
United States occasionally does feel that way.
Yeah. And why a state like Arizona wants to enforce its borders because it thinks the federal government isn't doing it, and it wants to protect its own people, and so it will do whatever it can, and then the federal government comes in and says, you can't do that because we're the responsible for that, and Arizona says, but you're not being very responsible. Help us out. Help us out. If you're not going to allow states' rights, help us out.
Good point.
Thank you.
Let's see. Okay, that's all I've got for the moment. Bud of Boise sent in quite a long one here, but I'm going to have to look at what it says.
I will read this. It
sort of appears to have been copied off pasted on here, but I don't know that for sure.
Because this goes back to the instant message you just said. And President Trump, in a sharp reversal of Obama administration policies, is expected to announce the U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement, despite an appeal by European leaders to stick with the global treaty that limits emissions of greenhouse gases. So it's not a global warming thing. It's trying to limit the emission of greenhouse gases, which some scientists say ties directly into global warming.
Well, and again, I think it comes down to actually very simple terms. Here's what you want us to do. Now, what if we don't want to do quite that much?
Yes. And you know what? And maybe that's what he's going to do. I mean, the accord just went into effect in November. So maybe he's going to come out and say, you know what? I want to stay in, but let's rework this agreement because I think we're doing more than everybody else is, and that doesn't seem very fair to me, because that's one of the things he brought up in the G7, is that it's not very fair that we're paying a lot of the freight for all of this, and you guys aren't, and you have a lot of bills due. And I think, I'm using air quotes now, fair seems to be something that he talks about a lot. It's not always in the right manner, but, you know, he talks about this isn't fair for America. This isn't fair for Americans to be doing this. And
what is and what isn't fair tends to be relative depending on your situation.
Sure, definitely, 100%. And he's talking about the Affordable Care Act isn't fair.
And that's one of the fundamental differences between conservatives and liberals, is there are people say, well, it isn't fair that you have money and I don't. And the other guy says, well, it isn't fair that I was working and completely uncomfortable for 40 years in order to get this money.
Yeah. So you're right. Perception is reality for everybody. But Trump uses the phrase fair a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't always equate to what he means it to equate to. But he does try to make sure that in the global scale of things, Americans aren't pulling more weight than they possibly should be. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
All right, then.
No agreement. I mean,
no agreement.
No argument there.
Oh, okay.
That's what I should have said.
I wonder if you just had a Freudian slip.
And yet I just said the opposite.
I was going to say, I wonder if you just had a Freudian slip there. All right. That's the show for today. Paul J. will be back tomorrow with Chris. We'll see what Thursday brings for us. Coming up, national news, then local news with Rick. Then Rush Limbaugh takes over. Michael Savage at 1 o'clock and Nate Shellman with more live local talk at 3 o'clock on 670 KBOI. Make sure you keep it right here.